Yeshamandakatam Vapam Dharanam. This is chapter 9. Oh, sorry. Chapter 7, text number 26. 27. 28. Yeshamandakatam Vapam Dharanam Punya Karmanam. Yesham. Twandikatam Pa. Yesham. Yesham.
Yesham.
Free from the dualities of delusion and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Purport. Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regular principles of religion, who have acted piously, and who have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And gradually they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. From the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2 that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. Mahatsevam dwaram ahoram vimukte. One who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence. Kamo dwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. All the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that beginning their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be fully engaged in his transcendental loving service with determination. Yeshaman tikatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva mauni muktva bhajante mam dhrita vrataha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives, in this life their sinful reactions are completely eradicated, are free from the dualities of delusion, they engage themselves in my service with determination. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Buddhaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamade. Namaste, Sarasatun Deve, Koravani Pujarne, Nirvishesha, Shunyavadi, Paskatya, De Siddharne. Many different ways the gradual process of devotional service is explained. So here it's explained also. And previously Krishna has said, Namam Diskritina Muda, Prapadyante Naradama, Maya aparita jnana asaram bhavam ashritya. That those who are foolish, the lowest among men, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, they never surrender to me. So these persons are called vikarmis. Karma means everyone has to perform some activity. The basic principle of activity should be that everything should be done to please Krishna. But there are persons whose very basic principle of existence, instead of trying to please Krishna, they do everything against what Krishna is saying. Ye yakshastrin vidim utsrija vartate kamakarata nasasidim avatmoti nasukam naparangitim. Krishna says that those who give up the scriptures, shastra, and they act kamakarata according to their own whims, they cannot attain peace, nor perfection, nor the highest destination. Avajananti mamuda, manu shintanam ashityam, ramba rama jananda, mamabhuta maheshwaram. Those who think Krishna is to be an ordinary person, then certainly they're not going to render any service to him, especially devotional service. Therefore, Krishna says there are mudhas. Avidinandi mamuda manushim tanum ashritya. They think that Krishna is some ordinary person who has taken shelter in this particular form of Krishna. Mamabhuta maheshram. They don't know his higher nature, and his supreme dominion over everything that be. Mogaisha Moka Kamano Moka Gyanavikesaha Rakshasim Asrim Kaiva Prakatim Onim Shitaha. So those who are deluded by such demoniac and atheistic views, in that bewildered condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. So these are the persons who are the atheistic, the foolish, the deceitful, and those who are sinful, or the Naradamas, the Mudhas, the Maya Pritigyanas, and the Asram Bhavamashityas. These are the common everyday citizens. One of our mates down the street. But most people think they're a nice person, but Krishna doesn't think they're such a nice person. As a matter of fact, he says, Asrim Yonam Apan Tanaham Vichatat Puran Samsaration Radhamam Chifram Yajasram Ashubam Asrim Yonim Asrim Yeva Asrim Yeshva. Tanaham Dvishatakuran Samsaration Radhamam Shifram Yajasram Ashubam Asri Shveva Yoni Shu Asrim Yonam Apanam Mura Jandani Jandani Tama Pratyaya Kuntiya Tato Yadamam Gatim. That those who are Tanaham Dvishatakuran, those who are envious, mischievous, the lowest among mankind, for them I continually cast into the lower species of life, into the demoniac existence. Attaining such repeated existence amongst demoniac species of life, they gradually sink down to the lowest forms of existence. Doesn't sound like a very happy future. But this is what happens for those who are sinful, who are deceitful, who are the lowest, who are atheistic, and who are sinful, foolish, atheistic, and deceitful. This is what happens to them. Their next life, they become a blade of grass. And if they bought a book, maybe a blade of grass in the backyard of a devotee. So they get some dust from his lotus feet periodically. But most blades of grass are not in the backyard of a devotee. There are so many trees and grasshoppers and ants. Much more ants, I'm sure, in one square yard, you know, in one backyard, someone's backyard, than there are all the people in Perth. So these are persons who didn't buy Bhagavad Gita's and read them. So this is the beginning that one has to practice some regular principles of religion. A whole involvement in the material world is the fact that we're simply acting whimsically according to the dictation of our senses. So one has to regulate the senses according to some scriptural injunction. For that, in that regard, even some kind of religion is better than no religion. Even if, of course, nowadays they say thou shalt not kill, they've changed it that thou shalt not murder. So at least they're not murdering. Pretty soon, thou shalt not murder anyone below 60 years old. Thou shalt not murder anyone below 60 and higher than 20. So every day they change their tenets of religion, but at least there's something. You know, they only eat fish on Friday or something. Is that right? Is that what they do? What's that?
They don't eat bread on that Friday.
Pink and orange and green.
It's only good Friday anymore.
Only good Friday?
Yeah, it used to be every Friday. It's the cat.
Only on Good Friday they don't eat meat. And now it's going to be every other Good Friday. It was too austere. People suffer too much. Unless they change it, they're all going to quit their religion. As you can see, as Kali Yuga progresses, so people are giving up all regulations. They say the next pope that he'll find it very difficult to keep the rule of celibacy amongst the priests, if they even have such a rule, really. I mean, anyhow, we won't go into it. But the very difficult to follow any principle. But those who can follow some principle, then, after following the principle, that one gradually becomes purified by regulation, one sees that actually it wasn't such a wonderful thing. Just like if you tell people that you can't eat McDonald's hamburgers, people will think, oh, this is horrible. How can I eat? How could people live without eating McDonald's? But then you explain to them that a McDonald's hamburger is something like, you know, 5 or 6% are rat stool and all kinds of different sawdust, the certain percentage that's allowed, like that. And that McDonald's hamburgers, at least in certain parts, I don't know about here, but they can take any part of the animal and chop it up and put it into the hamburger. So you don't know what part of the animal you're eating. So that's your meal. Could be any animal. Sometimes in America they cut up all kinds of animals. Some poor mouse that was trying to get a meal, he gets cut up too. And I think here in Australia where they don't use cows, they use some kind of bird. Maybe that's in America. They ran out of cows, so now in New Zealand I think they use certain types of birds. In any case, you don't know what you're eating. But those who practice the regular principles, then gradually they realize that these things weren't so wonderful after all. One can see that we're not really giving up anything. Therefore, one tries to do something positive. So therefore it says, when you realize that it's a good thing to follow regulations, then you want to do something which is auspicious. So that's called pious activities. Just like we have yama, niyama. So yama means to regulate the negative. No stealing, no lying, no so many things. And niyama means something positive. Chant six Hare Krishna, or walk little old ladies across the street or something. Something pious. Then by doing pious activities, then one can conquer sinful reactions. Yes. In other words, one can learn tolerance. Once one comes to the mode of goodness, then he realizes by knowledge that I'm not my body and that my entangled into the material world is because I'm endlessly acting according to the impulses of my mind and my senses. Therefore, one learns tolerance. Mode of goodness doesn't mean that one becomes blissful in the material world. Mode of goodness means that one gets the intelligence, but he learns tolerance. He doesn't become so much disturbed by the dualities of material existence. Then by learning these tolerance, then one can learn how to hear properly. And hearing properly, one can understand that the real basis, the real auspicious activity is to engage in Krishna service. Because I'm a spiritual soul, therefore if I serve Krishna, who is the supreme spiritual soul, then that's my real auspicious activity. Whatever I want, really want, namely bliss, because that's what everyone's working for, is pleasure. Everyone is working for knowledge of how to become blissful forever. No one is working to become bewildered so we can become as miserable as possible forever. Isn't that right? No one works hard during the week, so at the end of the week, you can suck. Although that's what it winds up. People work hard, they get money, and then they go and they drink some, rotten grapes. They get completely bewildered. They engage in so many sinful activities. And then by Sunday they have a headache and they can't get out of bed. So this is what they've worked so hard for. so they can torture themselves. Although that's not what they thought. They didn't think by these activities I'd suffer. And then after 20 years of doing that, they go to the doctor and they find out they don't have a liver anymore. They put themselves on a list so that maybe next year they can get a new one from a giraffe or something. So in this way, people are working hard factually because they think they're going to be enjoying, but they wind up suffering. So that's the difference. Adharmam dharam itiya manyate tamasavritaha sarvatanti paritamascha buddhistaparta kamasi. That religion in the mode of ignorance, or knowledge in the mode of ignorance, or intelligence in the mode of ignorance, means they think what is to be done, what is religion, they think is irreligion. They think the Hare Krishnas in certain parts of the world, they're crazy fanatics. They're the ones who are spoiling the country, bewildering the young people into becoming celibate, not taking intoxication, and giving up killing animals. They're destroying their moral character. And they think what is religion, what is irreligion, that they take as religion. They think in certain religions that unless the priest is drunk, he's not a real priest. Unless he takes enough of the blood of Christ in the form of grapes, he's not really bona fide. So in some countries you can tell the priest because he has a nice red nose. They think irreligion to be religion, and therefore they always strive in the wrong direction. They think the more the society is free to engage in all kinds of sense gratification, the less restricted it is, then the more they're making progress. So now, as I said, when I left Denmark last year, one devotee came up to me just before I left and he said, Denmark has a unique distinction that it's the first country, of course there may be other countries now, but this was last year, where a father has married his son. So there's progress, people are. So this Kali Yuga has just started. So they think that this is progress. So those who actually can tolerate these urges of the senses, then they can understand that we are spiritual souls and that our real business is to love Krishna, to engage in his service, and in that loving exchange with Krishna, then our real awareness of our true identities and our real happiness is awakened. And that exchange can go on perpetually with ever-increasing awareness and happiness. Then one can become purely conscious of Krishna without any material consciousness. And then, when one becomes aware of Krishna, that he himself is pleasure and the reservoir of all pleasure, then one becomes fixed and entranced upon him and engages in his loving service 24 hours a day without deviation. And this Prabhupada says is possible. Then one is situated naturally on the spiritual platform, beyond material existence. So this is possible. Satantra sangamam avirya stambhido bhavanti rikaryam rasayanam kata tajoshavarashva varga vartmani sharavatir bhaktir nukramishati. This is possible if we associate with the devotees, and in that association we try to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. Bhavanti rikaryam rasayanam kata. And if we understand the science, then it becomes rasayana. Just like a person who's dead, or nearly dead, that if you give him rasayana, then he comes back to life again. So similarly, we ourselves, in material existence, we're practically dead. This body is already dead, and those who are simply trying to maintain this dead body, that they themselves are dead. The soul is practically dead. Because his real existence, which is Krishna consciousness, he's already lost it. And he's just trying to maintain a body which is already dead. Just like if you see a dead body on the street, generally speaking, you won't offer it any food. Take a little bit. Try it. Come on. It's good. You'll feel a lot better. I know you need a little rest, but just wait, you know. No. Generally speaking, one won't, if you see a dead body, you won't bathe it and clothe it and feed it, fan it, cut its nails, whatever. You know it's dead. What is the sense of doing it? And yet, this dead body that we're in, we're so much concerned about. Of course, we should be somewhat concerned about it, but what we should be more concerned about is ourselves within the body, our spiritual selves. So that we may not believe in ourselves, but if we don't believe in ourselves, no one else is going to believe in ourselves. So we might as well believe in ourselves. And our real self, namely as a spiritual self. So that's possible by learning about the science and the association of devotees. So, and not only we have to hear about it, but then we have to serve the devotees. Tadati pratigrinati guyamakiti prichiti bhunte bodhayate daiva shadidam pratilakshana. Offering gifts in charity, receiving charitable gifts, hearing or inquiring confidentially and explaining the science of Krishna consciousness, offering prasad and accepting prasad. These are the six symptoms of love exchanged by one devotee and another. So we should inquire about what the science of Krishna consciousness is, and then we should also try to explain it to others. We should offer prasad to Krishna, and we should accept prasad, which is offered by the devotees. We should give the gift of Krishna consciousness to others, and we should also accept the gift of Krishna consciousness. So Mahatsevan Dwaram Ahuravi Mukte Samo Dwaram Yoshita Sangi Sangam Mahantaste Tamas Mahantaste Samachitak Vimanya Vimanyavasurido Saravaye. That Mahatsevan Dwaram Ahuravi Mukte, that by serving the devotees, then the doorway to going back to the spiritual sky is open. But if one renders service to materialists, then the doorway to hell is open. So generally, most people are impersonalists. Most people think that the goal of life is to realize that they're God. Somehow or another. The materialist, he thinks that by acquiring money, then he'll become better than everyone else. And the impersonalist thinks, well, I'm not going to compete with anyone trying to get money, I'm just going to compete with them trying to get some knowledge. And the yogis, they try and compete trying to get yogic powers. So in any case, any of these personalities, if they don't realize themselves to be Krishna's servant, ultimately they're all impersonalists. And the impersonalists, because they don't realize that they're supposed to serve Krishna, that this is the greatest violation, Prabhupada says, of God's law. God's law is that everything belongs to Krishna, and we have to utilize whatever we have in Krishna's service, or else we become liable to some kind of reaction. And the reaction is we get another body, another term of imprisonment to suffer again. We may think, well, who cares about God? Who cares about this? You know, I'm doing all right. Who cares about this philosophy? I'm just going to go on doing my thing and everything's going to be cool. But the fact is, we may go on doing our own thing, and in our next lifetime we have to get another body and suffer again in a different set of reactions. For those who, I'm sure we can give some testimony of what it's like to be in a hospital. Is that right, Mother Sutra-Rani? It's not very pleasant, is it? So it's not that it can't happen to me. Everyone in the hospital thought like that. They thought, why me? What did I do? I'm a nice guy. So that's just a little bit of the misery, because ultimately, well, we all know about all different types of misery. It's not that at every moment we're always suffering, and when we're suffering less, we think we're doing all right. It was a good day because I suffered less, or I forgot about my suffering for 30 seconds, and therefore everything was nice for that day. So the fact is, the material world is said to be a place of misery, and the only auspicious path to get out of that misery is to come to the spiritual platform, and that's possible in the association of devotees, rendering service to them, and in this way we can gradually come to our natural position where there's no more material suffering, there's only spiritual happiness. Yesham antikatam papam jananam punyakaramanam te dvanga mohanirmukta bhajante imam drida vrataha. For those who have acted piously in previous lives and this life, who have conquered, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are free from the dualities of delusion, they gave themselves my service with determination. So that's adal shadatata sarasanga kya vajna kriya anartana ritisya tato nishta ruchistata ata shakti stato bhavas tata prema yajun stati tisadakanam ayam prema pradurbhavet krama. So in the beginning we have to have a little faith, then we can associate with the devotees and hear about Krishna, we become inspired to render some service, perform the activities of devotional service, gradually become purified, and then we become fixed in the devotional service, we become determined, we concentrate more and more our consciousness upon Krishna and service to him, therefore we get a taste and attachment, then real feeling develops towards Krishna, pure love, and then one's life becomes perfect. So I'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes.
The yogi can believe that everyone has sort of this common Krishna consciousness, but not as he's ever said, Krishna is the best one. Yogi is never meditating on the secret song.
Yeah, so Krishna says, Sarva Bhutaspitam Yomam Bhajat Yekatma Mastita Sarvata Vatmanan Opi Siyogi Mai Vartate, that he is the true yogi who knows by his heart. The yogi who knows that I am the super soul dwelling in all hearts of one, worships me and engages in my service in all respects. So that's not an ordinary yogi. That yogi becomes a devotee. But the yogi who doesn't understand that Krishna is God, that he's an impersonal. Yes. Gradually they become elevated. Katayavi yoginam bhaktaiva kule bhavatiti mata etari duralabhataram loke janma idrisham. They take birth in auspicious families. And tatratam vidyasam yogam lavate puravadehikam lavate puravadehikam yatato chatato buyasam sido kurunanana. And they take birth, they practice yoga. Samyamya Sansito Yukta Manak Samyamya Maschito Yukta Sita Matraha. So one has to his head and neck erect in a straight line, stare steadily at the tip of the nose. Thus with an unagitated mind devoid of fear, completely free from sex life, one should meditate upon me within the heart and make me the supreme goal of life. So you have to go to a sacred place, which Odeshe Pratishtapya Sirium Asana Atmanaha Nati Tri Tam Nashini Twa. So there's so many things that one has to do. Sucho Deshe Pratishtapya Sirium. I think it begins with. Yogi Jita Sadatam Atmane Rastitika Ekaki Yatichitatman Nirashya Aparigraha. Transcendental Ashoka engages body, mind, and self in relation with the Supreme. He should live alone in a secluded place and should always carefully control his mind, should be free from desires and feelings of possessiveness. Chucho deshe pratishtatya stirim asanam atmana na chiutri tam na chini tvam chaila jina kusotra kitraika gramana kritva yati chitendriya kriya upavisha sunye yunjad yogam atman vishudaya. Practice yoga when she goes to a secluded place and she lay kusha grass on the ground and cover it with a deer skin and a soft cloth. The seat should be neither too high nor too low and should be situated in a sacred place. The yogi should then sit down very firmly and should practice yoga to purify the heart by controlling his mind, senses, and activities and fixing the mind on one point. So this is the beginning of yoga practice. I don't think that's what they're doing. One time Prabhupada was telling Gopal Krishna Maharaj that they should advertise the bona fide practice of yoga, and that in the Gurukul in Vrindavan, where they have the Gurukul now, they should reserve rooms and they should put deer skin and kusha grass on the floor there, and then have people coming to practice yoga. And people would sit on there on the deer skin and the soft cloth and with head erect and stare steadily at the tip of the nose. And during that time, a devotee would read the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita to them. And this is where they practice bona fide yoga.
What does it mean by too high or too low?
So you wouldn't fall off.
What does it mean by standing between your noses? Because if I do it, I'm going to get two noses.
Practice. Gradually they all merge into one. Takes a little practice. Yes.
I just mentioned that the self-defeating ideas of people, you know, just looking for weekends and evidence of destructive activities. So in different places around the world, where there are temples, there's different influences, like caste influences, say, like in New Zealand, Australia, maybe in animal care, the outro. Every city has a different kind of simple one going on. It seems to affect the people. And we have a thing of it where we become affected in a way.
Well, it depends. If you're engaged in the process of devotional service, you personally may not be affected. Yeah. Yeah, we should distribute books and chant Hare Krishna. Distribute prasad. That's not specific enough. You mean what kind of book we should distribute or what? Yeah, why make it so complicated? We should preach Krishna consciousness. That's our solution. Do you have a better solution?
You
know, as I say, we should just preach Krishna consciousness. As far as a lot of calculating, where is there less? I mean, there may be some vegetarian countries, you know, but they're not very common. We don't protect any cows. We're not protecting cows. I mean, it would be nice if we did, but generally we keep them as pets. I mean, it would be nice if we actually would be able to do that, to show an example of cow protection. You know, but that means we'd have to work the oxen and actually become self-sufficient. But generally we get land and we get a whole bunch of cows and then we go out and we beg people give us a donation to feed the cows. So we keep them as pets. It's a hobby that we have. But it would be nice to do it. Anything else? It'd be nice if we lived our philosophy. Wait, I'm more of an effect, especially on ourselves. Anything else? Yes. I mean, not everyone comes back. Not everyone is so fortunate to come back to the later grow.
We hear a lot of mythology coming back. Sometimes not. Otherwise, the Yimshara, the human birth,
not necessarily. Prabhupada said in one conversation that if you get prasad, that you'll get another opportunity to take prasad. But you, if you know it's prasad, that it was offered to Krishna, then you'll get a human birth. But just taking prasad doesn't mean that you get a human birth. You'll get another opportunity to take more prasad. Not necessarily as a human. Not that I work in a, you know, slaughterhouse. You know, someone, you know, threw me a bag of popcorn and I, you know, now I'm saved. Doesn't quite work like that. So we'll stop there. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Kijai, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Gaur Premananda.